today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the first and the second chapter, concerning the birth of Christ. We find that Matthew begins at the 18th verse and relates to us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, before she had come together with her husband, was found with child by the Holy Ghost. This woman, she was a virgin, and she was related to the family of David. Likewise, the man that she intended to marry, they were both of the royal race of David. And Mary, she was likewise related to the house of Aaron, and she had a cousin by the name of Elizabeth. This woman, Mary, she was then with child. We will have to take you to Luke 2, which gives us a graphic account of what took place with this woman and how that she was with child. We find that God sent an angel by the name of Gabriel unto this woman, and he came in unto her and spake unto her and said, Hail thou, highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. This salutation of this angel, what a wonderful blessing this was to Mary. Hail, thou highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Could I not apply this in my own little way to some of God's dear children that may be here? We have not had an angel come to us and say to us, Hail, thou highly favored. But have we not been favored by God? Has not God shown a great distinction in coming to us, in putting into our hearts grace, in giving unto us likewise to believe that we had found favor with God? This woman was given to know this by the mouth of an angel, and she, in this respect, was highly favored above so many other poor sinners who probably were even better than her. So with us, how highly favored have we been in comparison to so many millions of other poor creatures who have not lived the way we have lived, and still God has been favorable to us. The Lord was with her. He was dwelling in her. He had given her grace. He had given her his love and her soul. He had shown mercy to her. Oh, what a wonderful blessing this woman had, irrespective of what she was going to be used for by God. She was then an elect vessel of mercy, chosen by God from all eternity, loved by God with an everlasting love. Oh, who can comprehend this, what she was given to know by the mouth of an angel? How many of you as women listening to me wouldn't like to have someone come to you and speak to you and say, how highly favored you are, the Lord is with you, how blessed art thou amongst women? Oh, I think some of you would say, I'd give everything I have if the Lord would come to me and make this known to me. Or if he has made it known to any of you that are listening to me, if you have found these things to be true in your very hearts, do not deny them. Oh, come out for him who has shown such a wonderful distinction to you above other poor sinners. This woman, she was then highly favored in this respect because God was going to give unto her to be that virgin that was going to be used for this special purpose to bring his dear son into this world. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Jewish women had been looking forward that they would be the one that would bring the Emmanuel, the Messiah, into the world. Every time probably a son was born to one of them, they thought probably this was it. But the time had not arrived for that. Until just now, this woman then, this virgin, According to Scripture, it was to be a virgin. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Of the many promises God had given throughout all the ages before Christ appeared, through the instrument of his saints and of his prophets and in his precious word, were sources of comfort and sources whereby the saints of old builded their hopes on. Their faith looked forward to the coming of this precious Jesus in the flesh. They believed that he would come and that he would lay down his life for them and put away their sins. And this God now was going to fulfill what he had promised throughout all the ages that had went by. And now he sent this angel for this purpose to speak unto this woman. And this woman was given to know that she was going to be this virgin. This angel speaking to her troubled her. She was cast down in her mind at the saying of this angel. Some of you that are listening to me have likewise probably been troubled, been cast down in your minds, because God has come to you. He has given you to hear such wonderful promises that they were too much for you. You couldn't believe them. You couldn't accept them. You were troubled and cast down in your mind. But now the angel noticed this on her, and he said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God." Haven't you ever had an assurance again of the promises that God has given you? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to have an assurance again. Oh, God comes to us in the midst of all our fears and all our troubles and all our concerns and all our unbelief, and he says, "Fear not, thou hast found favor with me." Have you ever found favor with him? Why, if you have, you're richer than the richest person in this world. And this woman was troubled in this way too, and the angel spake an assurance to her. And now she was told that she would conceive in her womb, and that she would bear a son, and that she should call his name Jesus. All she had then hear words spoken that told her just what would take place with her, and that when she would give birth to this son, she was to call his name Jesus. Some of God's dear people listening to me have had some promises similar to this. You haven't had an angel come to you and tell you, well, you're going to give birth to Christ, but he has been given to you in the promise. Some of you have some promises, haven't you? Can't you recollect when God spoke to you and gave you a little hope that you would finally find this precious Jesus? Maybe you heard him speaking inwardly to you, "Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty." And you've seen something of his beauty already in the promise. Your heart began to go out to him. Maybe you had this promise, "Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing under his wings." And all you have seen such beauty in the Son of Righteousness, the glorious Son of God, if he should go up in your soul, oh, what a wonder that would be for you. And you would find healing for all your sins under his blessed wings. All these promises are applied many times to God's dear children in this life. Sometimes they hear a voice speaking to them, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And they are given to see again that in this precious Lamb of God, their sins are taken away. Then they hear him say, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin." Precious promises. Have you ever had one? Have you ever seen anything of Christ in that? And it has made your heart go out to him. You've yearned for him. And this woman was given to know that she would give birth to a son, and that she should call his name Jesus. And now this woman, she was wondering how this could take place, because she said, "How shall this be, where I do not know man?" Now, she was engaged. She was a spouse to a man by the name of Joseph. They had signed a contract together that they would get married, just as people in our times engage with each other to get married. She remained in her own home, and he lived in his home. And the time would come when he would take her to himself, but this time had not yet arrived. But now she was being told she was going to have a child. So how could this be? She says to the angel. Have you ever said that to God? Maybe you had some of these promises that I've been bringing forth out of Scripture to you, and you have said, well, how could this ever be? How could this ever happen? Oh, it'll never take place, you said. This woman, too, she says, well, how could this be? How could it possibly take place that I'm going to have a son where I have no man? And now the angel, he spake unto her and said unto her, the power of the highest shall come upon thee. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And there shall be no end to his kingdom. She was here then given to know how that this would take place with her. This would not be a natural generation, but it would be a supernatural conception, a miraculous conception. No man would have any part in this. The Holy Ghost would come upon her. He would conceive in her womb, and he would give that the Son of God would be formed therein, that he would assume a human nature, and this Holy Ghost would unite his divine nature with his human nature in the womb of this virgin, and that she would in due time give birth to this son, and that when he would be born, she was to call his name Jesus. All this woman then was given the assurance of how it would take place. Oh, my hearers, if God has given you any promises, and he has given you to believe at times that he has a favor towards you, why then the time will come too when the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And likewise, it will form Christ in you, in your soul, and you will find him to be a true Savior, a Messiah that is very close and dear unto you. This woman then was given to know this, that this is the way that it would take place. This was the way that God was going to bring forth his son into this world. This was for the purpose that he would be born without sin, and still he would be of our kin, that he would be flesh of her flesh, blood of her blood, and that he would be as we are in all things except sin. And this is why this would take place, so that this part of the virgin's body would be purified by the Holy Ghost, and there would be no taint of sin in this son that was to be born. And now this woman, as she was told, where she probably was troubled in her mind concerning this, that her cousin Elizabeth, who likewise had been barren, it was with her now the 6th month. And now he said unto her, with God all things are possible. There's nothing impossible with God. This was to assure her that all this would certainly take place, and that it would come from God, who was the author of it. She was told then that this cousin Elizabeth, it was the 6th month with her. As you know from the story, Elizabeth, she was beyond the age of having any children. Zacharias, he didn't pray anymore for a child, but God came and gave them a son, namely John the Baptist. We have here then one woman that was beyond the age of having children going to have one. And we have one that didn't have a husband, and she was going to have one. How wonderful is God. Nothing is impossible with him. Oh, my hearers, it may be in your mind, it's an impossibility that I can be saved, that ever my sins can be forgiven, that ever I'll be given to believe in Jesus Christ. Nothing's impossible with him. He can work this in one moment in your heart, and he can turn you back unto himself by the power of his love and of his grace. Nothing is impossible with God. And now we come back to the first chapter in Matthew, where we find that this man, Joseph, who was to be her husband, this being a spouse, being engaged in this way, why, it took some time before that they were brought together. And now it appears from Scripture that Mary was 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth. And when she came back from her cousin Elizabeth, well, then Joseph noticed on her that she was pregnant. And this was a blow to this man. He had such faith, he had such love for this Mary, believing her that she was a child of God. And when he saw her in this condition, you could just about imagine what went through his mind. Oh, what had happened to her? She had not been faithful to the vows that they had made together. And there she was now. She was pregnant. Now, whether she spake to him and told him concerning her pregnancy, the Bible does not say. But it seems that she didn't. You know what she did? And I wish that all of us could do that sometime with everything that we have, any troubles that we're in. She committed her case to God. She knew that it was from God. And now, whether they believed her or not, it couldn't be helped. Whether Joseph even didn't believe her, this wouldn't make any difference. She believed that he who had done this would certainly come out and show that she was honest, that she was sincere, that she was not sinning in this, and that she was free of the taint that would rest upon her. Because this made her appear, even to Joseph, a harlot. And you know, under Israel of old, when a woman done this, even though she was engaged, then she was to be taken and to be stoned. She was under then this terrible, cruel punishment that would be brought upon her for being a harlot. And now Joseph, he was a just man. He was an honorable man. And now when he seen her in this condition, he was troubled in his mind. And he didn't know what he should do. He didn't want to make a public example of her. In other words, he didn't want to broadcast it to everybody around him that his intended wife had played the harlot and that she should be stoned. No, he didn't want that. He wouldn't broadcast it that way. He kept it to himself. He loved her so much, he would rather put her away privately. By this, the Scripture means that he would take 2 witnesses and they would sign papers and she would be released from the vow that she made to him and she could go her way. This is what he was thinking about doing. He was then troubled in his mind, this man. And now while he was thinking upon these things, we find that an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream. And this angel, according to the commentary, was the same angel that came to Mary and told Mary just what was going to take place with her, although it doesn't say so in the Bible. But now, angels are used by God many times. They are ministering spirits sent out to minister unto those that shall be heirs of salvation. And God used them many times under the Old Testament dispensation. We don't have this as they had at that time. You read distinctly 3 times about this man, Joseph, that an angel came to him. This time an angel came to him, and then he was warned by an angel to take the child into the land of Egypt. Then he was told by an angel again when he was in the land of Egypt that he should bring the child back into the land of Canaan. 3 times this man had a visitation of an angel. Angels probably are even hovering round about the saints of God, where they are under the care and the protection of God at all times. We can't see them. But this man then had a dream. God spake many times in the Old Testament times by his servants, by his prophets, and by dreams. This man's name was Joseph. Think of Joseph, the son of Jacob. How many dreams didn't he have? And they all came out true. So this man's name, Joseph, he is having a dream. And this angel comes in and speaks unto him and says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I was thinking of this. This man's name was known in heaven. It was known at the throne of God. Joseph, the angel said to him, oh, what a wonder if I and your name are known up in heaven above. And this man, Joseph, he was told that he was a son of David. Why was he told this? Well, you know, the Messiah was to come forth from the line of David. And he was reminded in this by this angel that he was a son of David. And that now that which was in his wife, Mary, was of the Holy Ghost. And that she was pregnant in this way by the Spirit of God. And that she was going to bring forth the Messiah, which would come forth out of the line of David. He being of that same line, and she too. This man then was given a revelation from heaven to assure him that his intended wife had not played the harlot, but that it was from God above. This was a wonderful thing for this man, believe it. This put away all the troubles that he had in his mind. He didn't care now what people said, what people thought. And if they said, well, you're the one that caused her to be pregnant, that didn't mean anything to him anymore. He knew that God had done it. This was an assurance, and this cleared him and also cleared Mary of that stigma that would have been upon her, and which they probably would have said that he was a son of a harlot. And now what did he do? He immediately took Mary to him. He married her, and she lived with him. This was good for Joseph, and it was good for Mary too. So these two then, they were joined together in marriage, and he knew her not until the day that she gave birth unto her firstborn son. This angel had spoken unto Joseph and said that he should call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This saying of the angel was a wonderful saying too for Joseph, for it assured him that this precious person that was going to come into this world, this Messiah, was going to come to save him from his sins. Oh, my hearers, this wonderful name, Jesus, this was the name that God wanted his son to be called. And this name has a significant meaning. It means Savior. It means the salvation of God. Jehovah, the salvation. Oh, this precious name, a wonderful name, my hearers. It's so sweet for everyone that's a guilty, a filthy, a vile, a polluted sinner when they hear of this precious name, Jesus, and especially when they read this text that was spoken by the angel to this Joseph, he shall save his people from their sins. This was the purpose that he was coming into this world for. This is what he was going to do when he would fulfill the law, when he would satisfy the justice of God, when he would give himself as to be a curse hanging upon the cursed tree for cursed sinners. Or he then would in this way save his people from their sins. but he would likewise experimentally save each and every one of his people and give them that assurance that he has saved them. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. Has this name any significant meaning to you? Has your heart ever went out towards him who is able to save, willing to save, to the uttermost, all those that come unto him? And what do you want to be saved from, my hearers? Are your sins troubling you? Are they great? Are they black? Are they so innumerous as the sand upon the seashores? Have they caused you so much trouble, so much anxiety, so much fear, so much doubt, so much unbelief? This is what arises from sin, my hearers. Sin troubles a real living child of God. It burdens that person. Oh, they are concerned about their sins. How many of you are concerned about it? Oh, if you have any true concern and you are longing for this Savior, then you will be saved. Oh, the text does not say he shall probably save them. He probably will. He might save them. No, but he shall save them. It's just as firm as the throne of God that each child of God shall be saved by Jesus from their sins. Oh, I wished I was so assured myself for my own soul. But this is the word of God, and the word of God abideth forever. He shall save his people from their sins. He saved during the Old Testament time, and many of his saints, he gave them that blessed assurance that their sins were forgiven. And he saves even to this day yet. There are still creatures being saved by the grace of God and having that blessed and that sweet assurance that all their sins have been pardoned for his sake. Oh, sure I am that this is the one thing that you are longing for. This is what you need, and this would give you such joy, such peace, such happiness. Oh, to be reconciled with God through this precious Jesus, and to find that this God is your God forever and ever. Oh, I wish that I could make your souls hungry and thirsty after these blessings. Only God can do this. And now this man, after taking his wife to himself and having her in his home, he knew her not. There are many that think that he never knew her, that she remained a virgin, that she remained immaculate. But this cannot be true, because we haven't any truth of it in the Bible. The phraseology of this text, which states he knew her not until she gave birth to her firstborn son, proves in a way that after this took place, Jesus was born, they lived together as man and wife, just as other natural men and women live together. The Catholic Church wants to be that this woman was immaculate, that she never was touched, that she remained that way to the day she was born, died, that this was the only one that she gave birth to. But we haven't any assurity in the Scripture. There are many conjectures, there are many arguments on this, but it's all to no avail. And now this Joseph then, he lived with her after this, and when he was born, this precious son, they called his name Jesus. Matthew does not relate, as Luke does, concerning the birth of Christ and what took place before this, and how that God revealed from heaven unto the shepherds. Likewise, we have Simeon and Anna going up to the temple, all found in the chapter of Luke, the second chapter. But here we find that when Jesus was born, in the days of Herod the king in Bethlehem, Judah, then we find that this man, Herod, he had visitors. There came wise men from the east, inquiring and saying, "Where is he that was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." This proves to us again how faithful God is according to his word, because he had promised that his son would be born in Bethlehem. And he made sure that Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem. They did not live there. As you know, there was a decree made and they had to go up and they had to be taxed. We won't go into that. But we find that he was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king. Now there were many kings by the name of Herod, but this king, he reigned at the time that Christ was born. Christ was born in the 35th year of the reign of this king of Herod. And this king was a very wicked, very cruel king. He did many things that made the people tremble in fear. He took his own wife, Marini, and he slew her, and he killed two of his own sons, this King Herod. He's called Herod the Great, but he sure was great in sinning against God, I would say, in doing such things. And now this king, he was visited with by these wise men. Where did these wise men come from? Who were they? They came from the east, it says in the Bible. But there are many thoughts concerning these wise men. Some think they came from Persia, that they were magicians, that we read of Daniel, that he was in the land of Persia, and that he was the chief of the magicians. And they think that these men came from the same place, and that by the grace of God, they had been turned from being magicians, that they had been given to see the folly of being such kind of tools of the devil, to be soothsayers and to cheat and to lie to people. But whether this is true or not, it's just a thought that we have in the commentary. Others think that they came from nearby sources, probably from Mesopotamia, Syria, and around Judea. But they came from the east. They were magicians. Some think that they were kings. They were men that had been given by the grace of God to see something that they had never seen before. Some think that they were astronomers. They studied the skies. They watched the stars. And they had for ages listed every phenomenon that they had seen in the heavens. And they had put that down in books. And now at this special time, it was spoken of all round about Judea by all the Jews that this was the time that a prominent person was going to be born, that the Messiah was going to be born. Where and how, they knew not. But they all were talking about this. And this probably had come to the ears of these wise men. And now, probably God had given unto them a supernatural dream. And they were given to know that this wonderful person was born. Now, this took place, my hearers, 2 years after Jesus was born. It just didn't take place a week or 2 weeks later. No. These magicians, these wise men, they came from the east 2 years. It appears that Joseph and Mary had made their residence in Bethlehem. They were going to remain there. And now so many years elapsed, and nobody in Jerusalem, nobody around about that territory had said anything about this wonderful birth. You know, the shepherds had come, they had seen him, they had worshipped him. Simeon and Anna had spoken of him, but the Jews, they had no knowledge of it. They did not receive it, they did not believe it, they were ignorant of it. And here now almost 2 years had elapsed according to the commentary. And then these wise men came. They had seen a star in the east, a luminous body, something they had never seen before, which spoke unto them and told them that in that territory where that star was, there was the person that was to be the king of the Jews. There was that one for whom they were looking. By the grace of God, they had been changed, and they were seeking this precious Jesus, and they had heard that he was to be born, but they knew not where. And now God, he spake by an angel unto the shepherds, but God speaks now by a star to these people way in the land of the east. He spake in their language. They knew the stars. They seen by the stars certain signs and certain things they read in them. And this star was a strange star, an immense star. And they packed up. They were going to that place where that star was hovering in the heavens. It was something like a comet, something like a meteor hanging in the lower sky. And now they began a long journey. According to Scripture, they came from the east. They came to Jerusalem. They figured that everybody in Jerusalem must know something about this, because they openly came and asked, where is he that was to be born, the king of the Jews? And now, of course, when Herod had these visitors come to him, he was such a man, he was so ambitious. He was old, but he was ambitious, and he was very jealous. And when he heard, where is this king of the Jews born, he right away thought, I got a rival there. Somebody's going to take away my kingship. And therefore, he inquired diligently from the priest and from the religious leaders. There were 24 courses of priests at that time, and he invited them all to the meeting, and he inquired of them where the king of the Jews, the Messiah, was to be born. Well, they said, according to Scripture, he was to be born in Bethlehem. They quoted the text that you find in Micah 5, and this was a proof that he was to be born there. So he sent these wise men to Bethlehem, saying unto them that when they found this child, then they should bring him word back again, and then he would go and worship him. This, of course, was a lie. This was deceit on his part. He was a proselyte of the Jewish religion, but he was not a religious man, and he knew nothing about the coming of the Messiah and of his spiritual kingdom. He was only concerned about his own kingship. And he thought somebody's going to take it away from him. He had two sons of his slain because they would have taken his position. But here now one is going to be born, or had been born, that was going to be the king. So these wise men, they left the king, and when they came out, they seen the star again. And they knew that this star had guided them to this place. And they rejoiced inwardly when they seen the star. I would like to continue my hearing, but my time is gone. It's already past 5 minutes past 3. The Lord bless the feeble instruction I've given you so far out of this history of the birth of Christ to your immortal souls. And may you experience his birth in your soul. And then you will know the true meaning of Christmas. That's all for today.